When you dismiss because of appearance, you could be, well, missing out on finding a treasure at a rundown antique store, maybe a meal, a great meal at a hole-in-the-wall restaurant, or, most importantly, the chance to give someone the opportunity to realize that disability does not always mean impossibility. A physical disability doesn't mean a lack of motivation, a lack of desire. What's key is finding the best way to provide the disabled with the direction, the opportunity, which will best ignite that passion for life that's within them. Our first guest is with us to discuss these ideas and how they tie into the work of the organization she is a terrific part of. She is the Director of Policy with Disability Rights New Jersey, Mary Saccone. How are you today, Mary?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for the work that you do, some of which my audience is aware of because your organization played a great part in the resolution of a disaster at the local nursing homes in Andover. We can get to that another time. DisabilityRightsNJ.org. Learn more about the work of Disability Rights New Jersey and how you can support their work as well, which is very important. Talk about your organization, Mary. What are some of the elements and ways that you empower the disabled community in New Jersey?
Okay, well, we have a unique role in New Jersey. We are the state designated protection and advocacy system, which means we kind of have two different roles. We are the protection side, which is what we did with respect to the nursing home that we mentioned, in which we monitor and investigate allegations of abuse and neglect in facilities where people with disabilities reside or are. So we go into psychiatric hospitals, developmental centers, nursing homes, and observe what goes on there to make sure that people aren't being subject to abuse and neglect. Then there's the legal advocacy piece, That's the part where we help people try to advocate for their rights, and we try to empower them so that they can advocate for their rights, because we can't help everybody personally, but we can at least give them the tools so they know how that they can advocate and what their rights are. So what we do is we do everything from information and referral to short-term advocacy, meaning helping them know their rights and give them guidance in terms of how they can advocate for themselves, to full legal representation in terms of if it's an issue that affects a lot of people, we try to go out and actually we can go into court and basically legally represent them in court. So it depends on this issue and what we do. We do a wide range of things.
You certainly do. And again, that's the importance of the website. And as Mary said, too, for the beneficiaries of the programs and services of Disability Rights New Jersey, information is always the best way to empowerment. You also see at DisabilityRightsNJ.org their latest annual report. And your report, in a way, answers a big question and raises and puts a great focus on an important issue, too, because we always hear, and certainly parents of young disabled individuals have the concerns and worries about, I guess it's called the aging out from programs. Is there a succession of programs in New Jersey that either is becoming better or helping prevent more often those in need from, as the term goes, aging out and being cast adrift?
Yeah, the transition is a real tough issue, and that's an area where we have a lot of focus on right now to help people with transition. Basically, because what happens is up till 21, a child receives special education services through their school district, and that provides them with a wide range of services and as through the school district. So that's education. That can be some services to help them in the community, job training, job assistance, things like that. It helps them gain their skills. So they have a lot of supports and services through the school district. However, once they age out of the school district at age 21, then they go into what happens? Well, for people with intellectual or developmental disabilities, they talk about the cliff. And what happens is they go into the adult services. Well, the adult services aren't as extensive as what they get in the special education system. So a lot of parents are left, what am I going to do with my child? So that's where, you know, we try to help people so that they can manage that transition, because they go into the Division of Developmental Disabilities Services, and they have different services that, you know, adult day program, or they might be looking for a job, or some people go on to college. You know, what is going to be their post schooling life like? And we try. The key is to try to help parents know what that's going to be like when they're still in school, so that they can work through the transition period, which is required under IDEA. They all school districts and IEP should have a transition plan to help them decide what is their future going to look like. Are they going to be able to work? Are they going to be able to go on to post-secondary schooling? Are they going to need a day program? What kind of housing situation? What kind of supports and services are they going to need? These are the kinds of things that need to be worked out, hopefully before they turn 21, so that they are not left with nothing at that time and then trying to scramble to get the services in place that the child needs or the adult needs at that point.
Talking with Mary Ciccone, who is the Director of Policy with Disability Rights New Jersey. DisabilityRightsNJ.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. What you just talked about, too, kind of ties into a piece of legislation in the state Senate, S-3260, which superficially sounds like a great idea regarding guardianship for those with disabilities, but judging by the response and reaction from people from Disability Rights New Jersey and other organizations, this seems to be a little bit a bit too general for the need it's looking to address.
Yeah, we have some concerns about the bill. One of the things that happens when a child is turning 18 is when children turn 18, they become adults, and at that point, they have all legal rights to make decisions. Decision-making transfers to the child, the adult now, as 18. And what happens is a lot of children with disabilities, well, all children, a lot of them remain in school until they're actually a little over 18. They turn 18 usually in their senior year. Children with disabilities may be in school till they're 21. And what happens is the school district will then tell the parents, hey, when the child turns 18, all their rights, educational rights, go to the child. They make all the decisions. You can't make any decisions at that point unless you get guardianship. And the parents get really concerned because they're like, my child isn't going to be able to fully understand how to make all these decisions. We have to go get guardianship and be ready to get guardianship at 18 because the child's not going to be able to make decisions. They're going to make dumb decisions. They're not going to know what they're doing. And that's where the problem comes. So they rush out and get a guardianship. However, there's a lot of things that can, unfortunately, guardianship is a very restrictive, that takes away a person's rights to make all kinds of decisions about their lives. And it should only be done in the most, I would say, the most significant situations. It shouldn't, most people can still make decisions about their lives. And there are ways to make decisions without taking away someone's, all their legal rights. There's alternatives. And other states throughout the country are really moving forward with these alternatives to try to to minimize the number of guardianships. Our fear is such things can be powers of attorney. So an educational power of attorney, there's healthcare powers of attorney, there's financial powers of attorney. There's all kinds of powers of attorney that allow a person to help make decisions for that person on limited situations, but still doesn't give away all of their rights. You see people doing powers of attorney. I know my father-in-law, when his mother got very, very old and she wasn't able to make a lot of decisions, she just gave him a power of attorney. So he did all her financial stuff for years, but she still made all the rights. She has still had all the rights to make decisions. She just gave him authority to do that. You see that a lot in terms of elderly, but people don't think about it in terms of when the child turns 18. Another thing that can be done and the school districts just don't tell parents this is, you know, the child can just sign a waiver and say, hey, I want my parents to be involved in my educational decision making. And then the school district has to include them. That's something that's very simple and anybody can do, and that doesn't give away all their rights. But the school district just says, oh, they have to have a guardianship. So what parents are then left to do are rushing out and getting guardianship. And that's just, and then there's also, I'm sorry, I just am rambling here a little bit.
No, not at all.
There's what we call supportive decision making, and this is going on a lot throughout the rest of the country. New Jersey's kind of behind the eight ball on this. This is the idea that a person, they get a support network of people who they can go to help them make decisions. And they identify all of these individuals who can make these decisions, you know, who can help them make decisions in terms of financial, health care, education, whatever decisions need to be made. And they are identified as these supportive decision makers so that they work with the person. They can explain to the person what's involved and how these decisions can be done. In other states, they have statutes that allow for this process and lay out how this process works. New Jersey doesn't at this point, but it's becoming a very popular idea throughout the country so that people don't give up their rights. So there are alternatives to guardianship that people aren't necessarily aware of. But as I say, the school districts tell them they need to get guardianship, and the parents want to protect their child, and they want to make sure that the decisions that are being done are the correct decisions. So they go out and get a guardianship. Our concern with this law is it's, once again, it's moving towards making sure these people get guardianship, and they're moving earlier. So it's, we fear it's going to lead to more guardianships. You know, a child at 17 doesn't have, still is under the parent. They don't have the right to say, hey, I don't want this. I want to, it limits their ability to challenge a guardianship if they want to. So they don't, it limits their ability to find an attorney to represent them. It limits their opportunity to find a doctor that can challenge the determination of capacity. So there's a lot of legal issues that we think is problematic because it starts the complaint process 6 months earlier so that they can be a guardian on the day they turn 18. And as I say, I think it just is going to lead to more guardianships because it's going to get the process going and parents are going to want to move towards having that guardianship at 18. So that's our concern, is what it's, that it's likely to lead to more guardianships instead of going away from guardianships. Plus, as I say, there's no discussion in terms of alternatives to guardianship. And that's one of the things that we think needs to be done in the whole guardianship process, is to make everybody aware of, hey, there are alternatives that are less restrictive. There are such things as powers of attorney. You know, this supportive decision-making is a possibility. There's alternatives that can protect that individual's rights.
And certainly psychologically, we have to wrap up here, but certainly psychologically, it's diffusing, as I said back in the introduction, the passion for life, any motivation that that person would have by having this guardianship come into play. And basically, it's either directly or indirectly saying to them, well, maybe you really can't do that. And that's not exactly the path that we should be presenting for anyone, no matter what degree of disability they are having to deal with, what they're facing, confronting, because when you confront correctly, you can overcome, you can have a life that's full of accomplishment, full of achievement, and full of desire as well. That's part of the underlying goal of the work of DisabilityRightsNJ.org for the disabled community in New Jersey. Again, the website, DisabilityRightsNJ.org. For Disability Rights New Jersey, we've been talking with the Director of Policy, Mary Ciccone. Mary, thank you for the work that you and your organization do to help not just empower those dealing with disabilities, but help those who are around them understand the value of supporting and motivating that person and understanding them as well. Thanks for your work and for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. And if anybody has any questions, they can go to our website, and we are there to answer whatever questions they might have.